Well, today we're in chapter 16 of Proverbs, and well, I'll tell you, chapter 16 is really, well, the whole Bible is really great, right? So this is a good time. Chapter 16 of Proverbs, and if you have a Bible, you can open there. If you have an iPod, not an iPod, an iPhone, no, an iPad, that's it. If you got an iPad or... And I think some can even do it from the phone. You can turn to Proverbs 16. And we're going to look at the first 9 verses today of Proverbs 16. And I want to start with verse 8, because verse 8 is kind of a summation of what we looked at last week in Proverbs 15. Now, verse 8 of Proverbs 16 says this: "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right." And of course, that's common sense, and it is beautiful common sense, and God just wants to remind us of it. You know, if you got a little and you got a loving family, you're the richest people on the earth, and oh, what a blessing. And if you have a lot and it comes from deception and wickedness and kind of cheating and you know, getting by with little tricks to make more money, then you won't have a happy family, and it just, you'll just feel that canopy of a cloud hanging over your life. And so it is better to have a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Summing up what we had last week. Now, we want to start then at verse 1 in Proverbs 16, and the first 2 verses plus verse 9 actually present a problem and kind of a little separation between us and our God that can be corrected by verse 3. So we're going to look at 1, 2, 3, and 9, and in beginning the sermon here. So let's read verse 1. It says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Let me read the NIV translation. I like that one a little better. "To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue." Now, this verse is really designed, for the Christian, for the person that wants to be in the center of God's will. Because as you are looking to Him, and you're making your plans in your heart, and they're a little off-center, when you finally open your mouth, the Lord's going to come out if you've turned it over to Him. It's as simple as that. Now, the preparations of the heart of man, we can get wrong sometimes about things. And I'll give you an example. One time I got a letter from somebody that was just kind of calling me names and stuff, and it was kind of a hurtful letter. And then after I was hurt, I got mad. So I said, "I'm going to write them a letter that's going to blow their hairs right off." And so the preparation of my heart was to write this terrible letter. And so I wrote the terrible letter, and Marvin was my secretary at that time, so I was going to have poor Marvin type this horrible letter. But before that happened, the Lord got to my heart and started speaking to me. And so, praise the Lord, I just went back, and as the Lord and I have that conversation, I got to debarb this thing. You know, take the little barbs out of there, and get you, and take all that out. And just write a letter speaking the truth in the love of God. And it was so good, because that's exactly what happened, you know, is that I made my preparations in my heart. But you see, when the answer of the tongue finally came, it was from God. It was from the Lord. And that's what we want. And so that's a blessing. Now let's look at verse 2. It says this: "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits." Or another translation, "The Lord weighs the motives." Sometimes we can deceive ourselves about being right, and we're really wrong. And the Lord is there all the time looking at our motives and bringing His sweet judgments in our hearts and giving us light. And so God will be correcting us, just as we read in the last verse. I'd like to give you a little commentary on this from one of the Bible commentators I read. While man can be self-deceived, God determines his true motives. where man can be self-deceived, God determines his true motives. Now let's look down at verse 9, which has to do with these first two verses also. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now we talked about the tongue, and the tongue can get pretty wicked. And we're told that in James 3 in a very, very clear way. It can be set on fire by hell. Well, that's scary. Don't want to set my tongue on fire by hell. That even as your ship is guided by a little tiny rudder, our whole body, our whole actions can be guided by our tongue. So God wants to get a hold of that thing. And God wants us to put a guard on our mouth and to acknowledge him, you see, with what we're going to say. Now, verse 9 has to do with where you go and what you do. For it says, a man's heart devises his way. And I'm going to do this today, and then that, and I'm going to Ralph's, and then Trader Joe's, and after that over to Mother's. And then I'm going to on and on you go. But your sister calls, and the day goes right out the window, because she needs help. And you end up being on the phone with your sister for an hour and a half or 2 hours, or whatever it is. And so you have to adjust the plan you had for the day. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And so God will sometimes bring interruptions, or we can put it this way as, disappointments. And if you're kind of having a distance away from God's heart, you're going to be really disappointed. Life can be disappointing. How many have ever been disappointed? You know? Well, you can just change one letter in the word disappointment from D to H, and it says his appointment. Ooh. His appointment. God has had the sister call because she needs help. And being a Christian and somebody that's ready for God's interruptions, then I begin to kick in and ask God for help and send up that arrow prayer, right? And so these things can happen. And the Lord wants to kind of bring the two together. So let's get the solution here, verse 3, to getting my will together more with God's will. It says in verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. Or commit your plans to the Lord and your plans will succeed, because they're God's plans, and you realize that, and you submit to him. Now, this Hebrew word for commit is roll over, and I like that roll over. I mean, you ever heard the expression, you know, roll over and play dead, you know? And it's a good thing, because we have to be crucified with Christ, don't we? And a lot of times, disappointments are calling for living the crucified life, to actually giving it over to God, to roll it over to the Lord. You know, I pictured a pack of wolves when I read this, and not in a bad way, a good way, but the head wolf is in the den, and I saw this on PBS, and the younger wolves come in, and they make sure they keep themselves always lower than the head wolf, and make sure they don't make eye contact with him to perhaps be challenging him, and then sometimes they'll even roll over, you know, and submit to the head wolf. And this is the kind of idea. We just want to roll over all of our works, all of our plans to the Lord. In fact, somebody once said, and I thought it was good, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. You know? Now, we don't want to mean that in a wicked way, because God's in favor of our plans. But he understands if our plans are hurting, you know, and that maybe I'm rationalizing things and all ways of man are clean in his own eyes, like we read in verse 2. But the Lord weighs the motives, and we want to do it right, don't we? Anybody here want to do it right? You want to make good decisions, decisions that are best for you and your family and the blessings that God wants to bring in your life. Yeah, those hands, they all mean something to God, and God saw those hands. And so we roll over our works to the Lord, and our thoughts are established by him, our plans succeed. As we delight ourselves in him, he gives us really the desires of our heart. The true desires of our heart have to be corrected in action many times because we're bent the wrong way. We were born into sin. And God needs to correct all that and take care of that. So with that, in this rolling over process, it calls for total trust in the Lord. And we read scripture about that, familiar scriptures we quote all the time, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That's a promise from God. He will direct you. And so it calls for, in rolling over to Him, a total trust is actually giving that go to Him to say, I want to do it your way. You know, I picture a little child in a pool, and you're going to teach him to float. And so you put your hand under his waist, and then you tell him, you've got to put your head back now in the water on top of my hand. And he's resistant to that at first. And so if you're impatient, you'll say, look, if I let you go right now, you're going to sink right to the bottom unless you put your head back in my hand. So just relax. And of course, the kid's going to go, start crying, get me out of here. I don't want to float. Please, I do not want to float. Don't you understand this? Don't want to float. But if you're kind and you're gentle, and you're coaxing and say, now, come on, just trust me now. Just put your little head in my hand, this hand that held you when you were born, and all those things, you know. And then slowly but surely relaxes his shoulders, puts his head back, and then you step away. Guess what? He's floating like a cork, and he's loving it. And so this kind of trust, this kind of submission, which is the next thing I wanted to mention, submission to the will of God. In submission to Him, like the young wolves to the older wolf. And let's go to a scripture on that. Let's go to Psalm 37 and verses 5 and 6. Now we have the same exact Hebrew word, the exact same Hebrew word used in verse 5 of Psalm 37. Commit, roll over your way unto the Lord. Trust, and there's that word trust. Trust also in Him. And this is such a tremendous promise, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. Pastor Bill mentioned this in his prayers this morning about letting God bring it to pass. And this is the scripture where this says this. And so we commit, we roll over to Him, and then He brings it to pass. A neat testimony to share right now, and it concerns you also, all of us together, that the owner of our building came to see us about our rent. When the economic thing hit, the rent was decreased by $10,000. By our owner, who knows the Lord, loves the Lord, and gave us this huge break. But by the same token, he come every 6 months to check our finances and all. And there's kind of a canopy on our money that was over us because we kept thinking and feeling, you know, we owe him that $10,000 this month that we're not paying. And so when there's needs in the church, then you have to weigh the need against feeling guilty about taking money from him, who we all owe this rent to, you know, and it's just kind of a canopy that's hanging over us. And so I began to pray about that, and I just said, Lord, you know, these meetings every 6 months are starting to weigh on me. You know, we feel like we're not really in submission to you, but to the owner, but you've got to look past that and trust God with it. And I just asked, and I just said, Lord, please deliver us from this situation so that we can feel a deal with him, and the rest of the money is for us to buy a new rug or fix the bathroom or all the things that go wrong in the building, or to help more missionaries. And so anyway, praise the Lord, he came this last week, and it was such a blessing because the elders had talked a little bit, and we said, you know what, there's a new lease that's due to be drawn up, a new lease. And so We had talked to elders about just presenting to John the market value of this place. Can we draw up the lease for the new market value? And you know what? The market value happens to be, just so happened, you know, it's the Lord, right in the ballpark of what we're paying now with the $10,000 deduction. It's the fair market value. So John says, well, Mark, what are your wishes? Well, my wishes. Yeah, did you ever see the movie, The Bells of Queen Mary? No, that's not it. The Bells of St. Mary, not Queen Mary. That's a ship, and it goes real good. But anyway, at one time I actually asked him that, and The Bells of St. Mary is starring Bing Crosby, and he plays the priest. At the end, the rich guy gives him the land for the kids. And so I couldn't help myself. I just said, John, have you ever seen the movie, The Bells of St. Mary? And he just looked at me and went, I've seen the movie. I have seen the movie. As if to say, you know, in Hollywood, they make a lot of stuff up. That's not going to happen here, you know. So, but anyway, so he looks at me and says, what are your wishes? And so, you know, I just shared what the elders had talked about, and let's go to fair market value. And that's really what we're paying now already. And he says, in so many words, you got it. So that whole stigma has lifted, that all the money past what we're paying already is our money again in the Lord to just do what God leads us to do with that money. So what a blessing. I tell you, what a release. I could barely keep myself from dancing. So, you know, I'll just go ahead and dance now. No. And Bill and I were so blessed together, so blessed. We're thankful to God, and we're thankful together. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand. So when it says here in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He's not just whistling Dixie there. This is real. God can do anything, and He can do it fast. It blows my mind how quick He did all that. It's done. And it's, you know, of course, they have to follow through with writing the lease and all those things, but the decision has been made. So this is just wonderful. Now, verse 6 says this, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Oh, God leads us in the paths of righteousness as we commit our works to Him and our way to Him. Trust in Him, submit to Him. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday, making good decisions, healthy decisions, and blessing those that need help from you. They'll see the righteousness of God in you, in your help toward them, as they bring, as you could entitle it, an interruption, or a disappointment about your day, but it can be turned into His appointment. And it is His appointment, because God is the runner of our lives, right? As they are given to Him. It's beautiful. Well, two prayers that we can be making here. Let's go to Psalm 119, and let me give you a couple of prayers that the psalmist prays in Psalm 119 that shows us that the psalmist understands what we're talking about today. And he's asking a couple of prayers to the Lord. Now, it's Psalm 119, 133, verse 133 of Psalm 119. It says, order my steps in your word, and let not iniquity or sin have dominion or rule over you. That is such a wonderful prayer to get you free of sin. You don't want to be in the bondage to sin, and God doesn't want you in the bondage of sin. So the prayer, order my steps. In Proverbs 20:24, it says, the steps of a righteous man or ordered by the Lord. And so this is just a prayer about that. Order my steps in your word, and let not iniquity or sin have dominion or rule over me. And God will hear that prayer and bring you out of sin and into glorious life with him. Now, verse 135 also, another great prayer that reaches back to what we just read in Psalm 37 about God bringing forth our light and our judgment as the noonday, the ability to make good judgment, good decisions as the noonday. It'll be so light and so right. For it says, make your face to shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. And so the prayer to have the face of God shining on you. Well, he said it. He said, if you commit your works unto me, then your righteousness will be brought forth as the light of God shining on your decisions and your judgment as the noonday. What promises we have in the Lord. Praise God. Well, let's go on back now to Proverbs and chapter 16. Just a couple more thoughts today. Proverbs 16 and verse 4. Now, verse 4, Proverbs 16 says this, the Lord has made all things for himself. Yes, he has. All things were created for his pleasure. The Lord has made all things for himself. And this kind of troubling little verse here that we want to talk about, that explain, it says, even the wicked for the day of evil. You go, huh? Okay, Lord, let's explain that one. Even the wicked for the day of evil he has created and brought to pass. How does that work? Well, now, we don't want to go too far with trying to understand that verse in seeing God as a big meanie. I'm going to create you, and then I'm going to beat you all up, and the day of evil is going to come upon you because you're a wicked. Ha ha. No, that's not the Lord. In Ezekiel 18, it says that the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And we're told in the New Testament that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But God is bringing forth the simple fact there is wicked in the world. And it began with Satan and his rebellion against God in heaven and all the pride that was there. Now, God is so careful in our book of theology, really, in the New Testament, the book of Romans, to explain using Pharaoh as an example. Did you ever wonder about the statement that God hardened Pharaoh's heart? And you go, well, Lord, why did you harden his heart? Why didn't you soften it? But, you know, I love what McGee says about that on the Bible bus on the radio. He says this, God strengthened Pharaoh's heart in Pharaoh's position. God just strengthened Pharaoh in his position. There's going to be evil. Started with Satan. It's there. And God allows that, and he is long-suffering with it. How long did he put up with Pharaoh? My goodness. Pharaoh said, okay, stop the plague of the flies, and I'll let your people go. The plague stops. He changes his mind. He makes his decision, and God strengthens him even more in that decision. And we're told in the book of Romans, chapter 9, starting at verse 17, going to verse 23, it tells us that God said that Pharaoh was created for this purpose, that for this purpose, to actually show God's wrath, power, and strength. God is displaying for the universe and for you and I, he really is the king. You can make him mad. And it's just that he's going to display his wrath. And that also, he's the king. And he's going to win every time. There's no counsel. There's no deliberation against the Lord. And we need to know that. And that puts in our hearts, like it says in Romans chapter 9, the fear of the Lord. Remember when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost? They lied. to Peter about the money they got for their house that they sold and just stuffed some away secretly. And it was okay that they did keep some money back, but they lied about it. They said they gave all the money to the church. And because they lied, they both dropped dead right there. Bam, bam. First Ananias, then Sapphira's his wife when she came in later. And then the scripture says, and the fear of God came upon the whole church. You just go, man, we better watch our P's and Q's. We'll drop right dead. Oh, man, it sobered everybody. Well, God displays his wrath. He displays his power and his might, his mighty hand. As he said, he would deliver the children of Israel from Pharaoh of Egypt by his mighty hand. And that's exactly what he did. And so, yes, we can see this. Now, Isaiah speaks a couple of verses about this that I'd like to turn to. They've meant so much in my own life. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. Verse 16, Isaiah 54, 16, the Lord says the same thing he says in Proverbs right here in Isaiah. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire and that brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. I have created the waster to destroy. So as we picture the angel of death, or the waster, the destroyer, that's a green fog in the movie, coming down through the streets of Egypt and killing the firstborn of Egypt in that last judgment before Pharaoh finally allowed the people to go. Let my people go. That destroyer was created by God. And so this is what we read. But in God showing his wrath and showing his judgment and showing his power and might and his ability to win any fight that someone wants to pick with him, he also wants us to know about the vessels of mercy, showing mercy to thousands. In fact, he wants to show mercy to everybody, and some people just won't have it. But you and I, we've chosen to accept God's mercy. Amen? On the cross, with the blood that was shed, God's grace and mercy was displayed and imparted to us. And we are vessels of honor. We are vessels of mercy because of Jesus Christ. And our righteousness is of him. And we'll read it right here. Let's look at verse 17, Isaiah 54. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of just King David. No. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. So it's not actually based on your own righteousness. Your own righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. But God's righteousness in Christ breaks into your life. And this promise is made. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. It just will not. For me to live is Christ. And to die is a bummer. No, that's not what the Bible says. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Gain. I'm gaining when I go to be with Jesus. Won't it be a grand day to see his shining face? Face to face with the Lord. Blessed and righteous before him forever and ever and a day. I like to add that, and a day at the end. And so, the thing is this, as Jesus said, he said, nothing by any means shall hurt you. Huh? Nothing by any means shall hurt me. Man, my leg hurt last week, Lord. You know, it's the kind of thing we want to say. But you know, God allows everything. He keeps you from even dashing your foot against a stone. He sends angels to keep you from that. And when I do stub my toe, I ask the question right away, Lord, what was that for? Did I do anything? Let's get this straight. But the thing is this, is that this promise is given. We lived on Hester Street years ago on the main drag, and there was some drug activity around our house, and it was real scary. So we put the boys on the inside bedrooms. They were just little guys then. And Sherry and I took the bedroom that actually had a window onto the street. And it was scary sometimes, the things we'd hear. One night this guy was threatening to kill another guy. It was terrible. I had to decide what to do about that. But anyway, it just made me nervous to be there next to the street and so forth. And a lot of times I'd have my sheet up to my eyes, you know, listening with the ears and watching, and it was kind of weird. Anyway, one night somebody stole the hose from underneath our bedroom window, and it freaked me out. It wasn't just a hose. It was the whole theological picture of God supposed to be protecting me, and somebody was at my window of my bedroom and actually was able to steal my hose. So, you know, but the Lord put a fire in me about that hose, unreasonable fire, worldly speaking, but it was from God. And I went to my office the next day, and I was pacing in prayer inside my office going, Lord, you say in your word, you ready? No weapon that is formed against me will prosper. I want my hose back. In Jesus' name. And you know, I didn't feel disrespectful about that. I felt like the Lord was putting a fire in me to pray his word to him and to see his mighty power and get a little peace about sleeping next to the main drag. And so a few days later, the lady up the street came down for prayer. She heard we were Christians and so forth. And I think our boys played with her younger son for a while. So she comes down and she says, will you guys pray for me? And so we brought her in the house, we prayed for her, and then we started fellowshipping and being friends, and we told her about our hose. She says, hey, wait a minute, I've got a new hose over at my place. And lo and behold, her older son had swiped our hose. So God, oh, our lovely Lord. And so two things happened there. This older son gets disciplined and learns something and finds out you can't keep anything from mom. Oh, yeah. And then we got our hose back. But it was way more than that for me. God was saying, okay, you prayed my word. You believe my word. And here it is. Here's your hose. And it just transformed my life, I'm telling you right now. And what a blessing. So we need to believe that. And know that. And God does create the waster to destroy, but at the same time, he creates the vessels of mercy to give mercy to. And to let us know that the destroyer can do nothing to us. Anything that Satan does has got to go over God's desk first. And so we are in a position of being able to lay our head back in the water on his hand, to trust him, to totally submit to him. And as we grow in the Lord, we get older in the Lord, I think we learn to do this better. We're growing in Jesus because we've seen him deliver us from so many times before. And all of a sudden, from memory and looking back, we say, Lord, you've done this and this, and we just want to trust you with the future. He delivered me from so great a death. He does deliver me from so great a death. And we are trusting that he shall yet deliver us in the future from anything that needs deliverance. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Okay, well, let's go back to Proverbs and just finish one more thought here. Proverbs 16. And we pick up at verse 5, and we're going to read to verse 7. We've already done 8 and 9, so that would finish our study. So it says in verse 5, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You know, I just see this as when there's a popular movement among the society to do something wicked, to accept something wicked like homosexuality, the Lord is just saying, you know what? It doesn't matter if it's popular or not, or what the media want to say about it. What matters is what God thinks, because He's the supreme ruler. All things have been created for His pleasure and letting us know about even the wicked for the day of evil. And so even though hand join in hand, even though there's mighty votings that something should be that's not right, the wicked will not go unpunished. And so God wants us to know that. The day of reckoning is coming. And then in verse 6 it says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. And so as God does show His mighty arm and His mighty hand, which He will be doing again through the battle with Russia and the Arabs against Israel, He will show His mighty hand again, and the whole world will see the power of Almighty God. And so it is, and it is as it should be. Now, verse 7 then says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, this was true of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was killed by the Roman government and by the Pharisees and scribes, the religious rulers of the Jews, and ultimately by all of us, because He had to go to the cross for our sin, that we might be forgiven. But the Lord also had peace with men on the earth because of who He was and His gentleness, and He went around doing good works. And this can be true of you at work. You might be among many non-Christians, and they don't like you, and they look for ways to get you. Except when they're in trouble, then they'll come to you for help and ask for prayer. The thing is that God can make you a good employee and a good worker and really give you favor with men and cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. Let me read this scripture about Jesus. Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. With God and man. So He was a delightful man. He was a precious blessing. And everybody looked at Him and knew the things He was doing were good. And so even though they chose rebellion, many of them, and faced death and hell at the same time, knowing. And so what I'm saying is this, persecution is real. And if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we will suffer some kind of persecution. But God can also bless you to help this world. Now, let me give you an example of this that will make total sense to you to understand what we're reading here. Dr. Juventine and his wife, Elizabeth, are both doctors. And they have chosen to go to a place called Mitigo in northern Uganda, 8 miles from the border of Sudan, and start a hospital. Now, Dr. Juventine has also opened a church, and he's pastoring that church. And God is filling that church with people in an area that's 95% Muslim. And these Muslims were so angry just a few years before, in the 70s, actually, it's not a few years, I guess. Idi Amin lived there. You probably heard his name. He killed Christians left and right. But that is hung over in this area, this province where Juventine was led to go by the Lord with his wife. And this was his last newsletter to us, he let us know that he knows it's because of the hospital God has given them favor to preach the gospel. And God is doing mighty things. And so if a man's ways please the Lord, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him, and that is being lived out through Dr. Juventine, who will be here June 13th, just a few weeks now, at the 7 o'clock service on Wednesday night. If you want to come and hear him, I've asked him to do the whole service because I want to hear him preach. But we did this once before, and man, what a sermon. We were fired up. So I'd like to invite you to that. A service, June 13th, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Dr. Juventine is coming to speak to us and share with us what's going on in Mitigo. So there you are, and I'm done. Let's pray. Praise the Lord. I love Proverbs. Let's pray. Father, thank you for verses to live by. Lord, everyday instruction about everyday things that we go through every day. It's just so great to see your knowledge and wisdom on these things. So Lord, help our tongue, help our steps. And Lord, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can know that you're going to take very good care of us. Thank you that it is true that nothing by any means shall hurt us, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. You're so good, Jesus. Complete your plans in each one of these brothers and sisters and myself, Lord. Just complete your plans. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Always remember, the prayer room is open for you. There goes Brian. Yeah, good. Thank you, bro. And you can have prayer. We always want to pray for you. So hang out if you want to get some prayer. May the Lord bless you today. Just give you a hugely wonderful day in Him as He directs you. And may your disappointments turn into His appointments, right? God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.